Welcome to the Lesbo and the Bean universe. Lesbo and the Bean. LATB. Lat B. Where mixed martial arts and the UFC get silly. Big silly. Buckle up and move your tray tables to their upright position. And please, somebody shut that baby up. It's time for Lesbo and the Bean.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Episode 170 on the way.
Wow.
Right?
170.
Welterweight episode coming at ya here at Lesbo and the Bean. How have you been, Lesbo, since we last met? A lot of news has been breaking lately. A lot of fights being made.
Tons. And you know what's fun to say? If you're listening to this episode, maybe you're one of thousands of people listening to this episode.
Ooh, how fun is that? Thank you, fans, by the way. Growing.
Lesbo and the Bean getting bigger.
Growing.
And maybe we're going to have a little sponsorship soon.
We'll see.
We don't want to talk about it.
We're working on it, making contacts. If anyone ever wanted to sponsor us, we definitely would be able to take it on down. Sounds like a pet line product is trying to get in on it.
I know, right?
Right away.
I was like,
studio being invaded.
Did we lock a cat in the closet?
Not in the closet, but definitely want something to eat, apparently. Kicking off the welterweight episode with a bang. Some of the fights that have been brought up as of late.
Why is it a welterweight episode?
Because it's 170 pounds.
Oh, yeah, that's about right.
So, Rose Namajunas versus Jessica Andrade.
Right now, if I had to get out of this chair and fight, I'd have to fight Dee Woods. That's a really weird thought.
Me too. Hashtag me too.
Oh my God.
That is. So you're saying you were not going to fight Colby Covington either?
Boom,
zinga.
I would rather fight Colby than everybody of those three names.
So
that's the fight I want.
We'll announce the fights as they come along. But again, the hottest topic this week going in is pretty much Colby Covington putting Mr. Dana White in the UFC on blast. Did you happen to catch any of these said comments towards Mr. White?
If they called Donald Trump, he'd be pissed because Donald Trump's comments are promises made, promises kept. And so, Mr. President, he would be mad at Dana White. He'd say, this is bullshit. Yeah, I watched him. That's not my thoughts.
These are Colby Covington's thoughts. But he really, I mean, I feel like Ariel Helwani broke it down the best in saying that the number one heel here, ourselves at Latby also said this, number one heel, what Ahuani said that made a lot of sense to me, is they turned him into a baby face instantly, and he was our best heel.
He with the MAGA hat?
With everything, everybody loved to hate him, and now everybody's rooting for him, as we are as well, because everybody knows Colby Covington with that interim belt.
So you're saying the A in Anon stands for Ariel? That's a little
dig deeper.
Yeah,
dig a little deeper.
Look into it. Is all I'm saying. Just look into it.
Ask
Joe.
Ask Eddie Bravo if you need to.
Just look into it, Joe.
Ask Eddie Bravo. So, how do you feel about what Colby's saying?
He's coming at the UFC right now.
He was the number one company man. He said, which I agree with.
Well, he said, "What does a welterweight?" The intercontinental belt. That's what I almost called it. What's the belt?
Interim belt.
Intercontinental. Was that WWE or something? Like the next guy down wore the intercontinental belt. The interim belt, what does it mean if not you're next in line for the championship? If we're going to fucking have them at all, which anyone who listens to the show knows, I hate those. So if we're going to have these at all, what does it not mean for that? And then I also see the argument online. UFC fans, and I'm one of the fans where, yes, do I think Usman has a better shot at beating Woodley than Covington? Yes. That is irrelevant. They're like, you should want the best product put out there. You should want, nope. The UFC wanted to let Colby have the opportunities that he's had because of his mouth. I didn't decide those fights that they let him have and the events and the call out in the Intercontinental Championship. I didn't decide on that. They did. So they have to make it worth something for him. Unless ESPN's getting rid of him altogether. There's a new belt, new era.
True, that was not released in 2018 due to the antics that happened towards the end of the year. So that's coming along. Dana White hinted towards soon. They might do away with him. I think that's a good point. Just back to the interview a bit more. What I also loved about Colby going after the UFC is he started to air out some of their dirty laundry. Did you hear some of his allegations?
That they paid him to be in Australia and then didn't give him money because of the boomerang
they
incident?
Didn't pay him. They offered to pay him and then they did
as
not pay him.
As a guest fighter?
After 24 hours in the air. I've done a plane trip like that before. It is not fun to all of a sudden be like, you're going to be here for like 5 days. Wait, get on a plane an hour later for another 24 hours back or 22, whatever.
But they're saying because of the incident is why it happened.
Right.
And did they send Verdun home as well?
That's what I was about to say.
Because
did
if they send them both home, then it is what it is. And if part of your contract, if you don't fulfill it, like let's say they flew him over there. Let's say they covered airfare. And then his contract was to do a guest meet and greet, to do some interviews, some radio, blah, blah, blah.
Which he did.
And sit in the front row. And then he didn't fulfill his contract. I'm not going to pay you either. He was only there 24 hours and he gets in this... Is it weird that he sues him afterward and everything? Because I've also seen that idea that people call him, you know, they say he sucks. Like, you're a fighter. And he's like, I'm a professional fighter inside an octagon. It doesn't mean I want a boomerang thrown at me.
It's a good point.
I don't know. I thought that was the next fight. You know we love Usman here. I think he has a really good opportunity at this belt. But I thought he had another fight beforehand. I thought there was one more fight, and I don't
for
know.
For Usman, who would it have been?
It can't be. Did the Pons fight ever happen?
Nope. That has not. I agree. That's it. That's the fight.
That's the fight. Usman Pons on the same card as Woodley Covington.
Right.
And
winner,
then
winner.
Winner, winner, loser, loser.
Totally.
Keep the welterweight division great.
I do love, let me throwing it out there, I'm just going to say, Mugga.
Yeah.
Hashtag Mugga.
Make UFC great again.
Let's do it. Let's get behind that. We need to get a hat. We need to start promoting that for our UFC fans.
Woo.
Woo.
Studio falling down.
All right.
Studio falling down. It felt like it did for a second. Yeah, well, it made me laugh with Leslie Smith. Like, hey, Colby, I wish I had the guy to shout out. I could probably go on Twitter and look it up. But he put, hey, Colby, did you sign your Project Spearhead card?
It's the truth.
It is the absolute truth.
This is why Leslie Smith has been fighting and why she has always been someone that we love to associate ourselves with whenever we can. Got a couple likes and retweets from her every once in a while. That's always nice. Seeing Leslie Smith staying in there, being active.
She never once acknowledged the Leslie Smith underdog.
That is a good point. You look you cute, Leslie Smith.
I know, maybe that's... No,
it's not. You're just cute.
Is it still going to be Leslie? We have until the fight card to decide if we're going to decide new year with Leslie Smith underdog. Make a trophy for it now that we have the Labby trophy.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming down the line for Lappy as far as evolving even in the studio. Some potential, I feel like Hall of Fame type of homages we're going to have to put up.
You know the bullet's going on the wall.
You know something's
Our
happening.
Our girl got her belt.
You know something's happening.
We still have to decide, are we both on the Suarez train?
So many things down the line. If
we
you haven't
talk
liked
about
and subscribed...
It. Before the first fight, we have to get on our new...
True, for the year, what we're going to be on track. Suarez, is that 115 pounds?
I think so. Tatiana Suarez.
I could go with that. I don't see why I'm being so hesitant. I feel like I haven't looked far enough in the division to see if there's someone else sticking out to me, but there isn't.
The only other person that sticks out in that division, in my opinion... which is actually something else I want to talk about, so I think it's a perfect thing to walk into, is Andrade versus Rose being signed.
Woo, 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 woo! I mean, right after we got done with our last podcast,
Before we go into that, I have to go back to the Usman. I was just looking at my list of stuff I wanted to go over with you, and I just saw Usman Woodley Colby. Like, I wanted to talk about that. But the question I had for you is, does management rule? Is Colby not a guy sponsored by Ali Abdelaziz? And they're trying to, like, butter Ali's hand to get him money in a certain amount of fights so they don't have to pay Khabib this absorbent amount. They can, because as long as Ali gets his money, he doesn't really care about this one fighter as much, and he's the one doing the deal. So if you have the UFC, if you have this much of their roster, That's a dangerous thing with the UFC. He almost runs a mafia of his own with the amount of fighters he manages.
Wow. Are you telling us to look into his background at all?
Look into it. Look into it is all I'm saying, Joe.
I think they have different terms for gangs out in that area, and it's not mafias.
It sounds more like Alex Jones than Eddie Bravo, my impression.
One more time.
Look into it is all I'm saying,
that
Joe.
That is very Alex Jonesy of
like,
you.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Eddie Bravo at all. Eddie's more relaxed. He's like, all I'm saying is look into it.
You gotta know, man. Very California-y to me. Yeah,
it's just raspy.
Yep.
Does management rule Izzy?
I don't, well, it's not, it's Dan Lambert for ATT who's actually managing it, and Colby's talking about him. Colby. Usman is Ali. True, and Woodley is also Ali?
I don't know who Woodley is.
I don't know who Woodley is. I feel like it is somebody up there. Feel like it's him.
Dan Lambert for sure is Colby.
Right.
And it's just all the Ali guys are getting the shots. It is very true. Interesting to think about, to put it into your MMA conspiracy heads.
Did you actually hear about Ali and Khabib Nurmagomedov having a little bit of an interaction?
No.
On Twitter? So a fan actually posted at Khabib asking him if he wasn't willing to fight Tony Ferguson because it's too hard of a fight and not worth the money. And it's his agent who is negotiating this. And Khabib replied to this specific fan out of nowhere and said, Ali is Ali, I am Khabib. Do not get that confused. And that was all that was said. And I don't know if Ali replied. I feel like he did somewhere along the line saying he didn't refuse stuff. It's just the money's not right. Where this is going to be a Colby Covington-Woodley situation where everybody knows Khabib versus Tony is the only fight to make. Because of the interim standings, the injury, the fight he's already had back since that, I mean.
So, the common denominator, Ali. All the fights that everyone wants, one of the other side of the fight is an Ali person.
Interesting. I think you have an interesting thread here. Going to have to keep following it back to the source to figure it out. Yeah, we're going to have to keep
thinking about it and for fights to be made. Or also, I watched a couple of fights that were super close calls that you can say what you will about them. Like I rewatched the Cejudo Demetrius Johnson, which is another thing I want to go into. And don't worry, everyone, we will get back to Andrade versus Rose. But it's just funny to me that how close that Cejudo fight was to Johnson. And Cejudo, guess who he's managed by?
Ali Abdelaziz.
And remember, we also heard that TJ Dillashaw, the reason that he's coming down to be the last person to make potentially carry the 125 belt was because Cejudo got out-negotiated himself.
Correct.
So what is going on over there? Is Ali trying to hold too much clout over the UFC? Is he trying to play next level mafia with the mafia? But it's entertainment now. It's not the mafia anymore.
Well, it's never been the mafia. From what I understand, it's been...
Fertitas?
No, like... Middle Eastern organizations that may have terrorist ties. And as far as like his FBI file, it actually had him as... working with the FBI to specifically out people.
Oh, no, I don't mean Ali.
Oh, okay.
I meant the UFC.
Oh, okay.
Mafia ties. Like, is he trying to, is he doing next level? Well, I don't know.
It's the UFC mafia for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy when you hold a monopoly, that's what you do. It's just funny that it'd be interesting to look into or maybe ask MMA by the numbers. How many Ali... how many
represented fighters
also, but sketchy decisions that are close. Does it go to the Ali fighter?
Oh, that's tough because you got to look at the when they signed on, after they signed on, if they started to get sketchier calls. Ooh, I like it. Fun thread if you got a lot of time.
Conspiracy here. Okay, let's talk about Andrade versus Rose.
Second title defense for Rose Namajunas.
Second.
Which she immediately defended against the former champion, which, again, how many times have we seen champions immediately defend against someone who reigned for a long time?
We were so good. Our last episode, I was listening to it and thinking we didn't get into any weird topics about, like, Ostevich and lady beating, rapes, feminist talk. We didn't get into any tiptoey topics. Like, we didn't have to go across hot coals.
Sure.
And then we fully jumped in on the Ali Abdelaziz and, like, I'm like Chechnya. Like, we didn't even. Like, what are we talking? It's, anyway, sorry.
So way it goes.
Andrage Rose. This is hard to talk about.
Andrage Rose was signed. Again, second title defense. It's been about a year. A lot of fans have been actually clamoring for Rose or vacate. And I don't agree. I don't feel like it's been that long of a layoff. Usually it tends to be an injury. For Rose, it's been a mental injury. You know, she got that PTSD. Dolly's will do that to you. So she's finally coming back and she's fighting Andrade in Brazil.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. And then she gets like PTSD every time she hears Dolly.
I totally agree. But this is going to be out of Brazil going into.
That was deep.
That was a deep cut.
Sorry.
Do you feel like the Brazilian crowd and or Brazilian antics might play a role against Rose? Because I feel like that's another checkbox for Andrade in that fight.
I know. Rose is like one of those people that she likes to overcome the things that scare her in a weird way. What could be scarier than being in Brazil fighting Jessica Andrade?
Agreed.
She is scarier to me per pound per pound than Chris Cyborg.
The John Lineker of the 115-pound division.
She is a frightening
Eat the shot woman. To get, like, she will eat three shots to give one that's way harder. And unfortunately, Rose doesn't tend to fare well against those type of fighters. Andrade's gas tank has looked amazing as of late as well, yeah. So.
Her body, she's looked leaner. There, if you look back to her previous fights, she looks just almost.
Is this why they're fighting in Brazil? This is what I'm saying. Is this why they're fighting in Brazil? Just another check mark for Andrade for me, where there's, I mean, I see a play on the underdog where it's going to be even money. I think this is 115 pretty much by now. I don't see a big favorite either way. If not, Andrade could be the favorite here.
Brazil has such an enormous, loyal MMA audience that I almost feel like for a fighter, they almost have to fight in Brazil once in their career to get the Brazilian audience to respect and follow them. It's.
I don't know about that. I feel like Brazilians die hard for Brazilians regardless. I feel like they're.
But they loved Ronda Rousey.
Sure, like, sure. Andrade has fought in Brazil though before.
I don't mean Jessica Andrade. Oh, okay. I mean Rose. I think for every fighter, sure. I think they almost have to fight in Brazil. It's one of those It's like fighting in the U.S. It's you have to fight in Brazil once, and a lot of the Brazilians are super loyal. That they don't just like Brazilians. So if and if you're not fighting another Brazilian all the time, or you're not fighting a Brazilian all the time. So if it's two Americans fighting or American and Australian, they might be more likely to tune in. I just think if you're gonna have Rose as a champion, mm-hmm. it's kind of a good thing to do to build her audience if she beats Andrade.
It's going to be a fun fight regardless. I feel like it could be a fight of the year.
Where they're like, was it Chris Weidman beat Silva in Brazil? There was a male fight that it's like, oh my gosh, can you believe that happened? This dude beat this.
Brazilian?
Yeah, Brazilian in Brazil.
I feel like Machida, that's happened to a couple times. Where Damian Maia also lost in Brazil. He was a big.
Just
he
big got picked time. Apart
by Colby potentially even.
Was it Connor beat Jose in Brazil?
No. That was in Vegas. Vegas was going to own that one for sure. So, other fights that have been brought up as of late. Fun one, Pedro Munhoz versus...
Who do you got in Rosa versus Andrade right now?
I got Andrade, as I'm saying. I think Andrade is going to be able to put it on her. Being in Brazil plays a big role for me.
If I'm Rose, my game plan is I stay on the outside and pick apart her legs and take, I bet I have a 4-inch reach advantage over Andrade. And maybe I can peck apart my punches on the outside. It's all going to be about game plan here. I'm going to be faster than Andrade. My punches are not going to be as strong or hard. But I think it's a very similar game plan as like John Jones and Anthony Smith.
I could see that.
I think Rose can be the John Jones in the situation just to be a contrarian. I'm scared as hell for her, though. I put Andrade right now on my card. If the fight's tomorrow, I have Jessica.
I kind of agree with that.
If Joanna was going in, even if Joanna was still the champ, and she was fighting this Jessica Andrade, I would be worried about her. Jessica Andrade just looks so good.
She's looked so good. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to have plenty of time to be able to break that one down.
One more quick thing, though, about it. The Andrade that looks so good beat the Claudia that I just realized is not the Claudia I thought she was.
Totally.
Whereas the Rose just beat the Rose that still just went 5 rounds with Shevchenko. So by MMA math, Joanna probably could go 5 rounds with Amanda Nunes. That's weird, like...
Weird. That's that Conor Anderson Silva talk again, but...
It is a little bit. It is. But I just...
She's a 145-pound champ!
Well, Shevchenko is 125-pound, sure. And Joanna just went 5 rounds with her.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just trying to give Rose the benefit of the doubt. We can talk about it more later, obviously.
So other fun ones down the line. We don't have to get super deep into them, because, again, these are just fights that have been shot off the cuff as of late. Pedro Munhoz, Cody Garbrandt, return of Cody Garbrandt. We haven't seen him for a bit in there since his loss to TJ the second time around.
Do you feel like you'll be saying, he's back?
I like Cody initially in this fight, but the ground game plays a lot. Munhoz has looked really, really good, but the straighter puncher in that fight is Cody Garbrandt.
Do they both have the same scary chins?
I don't know, because... Only getting finished by TJ isn't that scary. That dude,
I know, again, but just going with the exact same game plan twice.
Well, we
had like
we'll see, we'll see, we'll see.
Alpha male hasn't looked that great. Munhoz
eats a lot of shots, and Garbrandt hits hard enough to not have to land a lot. That's why I favor Garbrandt in that a little bit. Munhoz's defense is a little weak, and he tends to rely on his chin. Where Garbrandt is known to be able to put a lot of dudes down hard. He has that power.
And then he fought a Dom that we think should have retired beforehand. And TJ just went in there and starched him. And the claim to fame for him is that he dropped TJ at the last 10 seconds of that first round. But if you rewatch that, TJ gets right back up.
Oh, yeah. Like Oh, yeah.
I mean, he stuns him a little bit, but whew, that's a hard fight for Cody to me.
That's a fun one.
It's a fun one.
That's definitely a fun one. Another one, as of late, Ozdemir versus Reyes. Here, you know I'm going to be watching it. That was my hype train I'm getting behind. Ozdemir is a top contender, top 5. This is where Reyes breaks into that top 5. So, light heavyweight, there's matchups being made there. There's also...
That's a fun fight for sure.
Can't wait for that one. We had... Also, another one on the way that was just recently booked, Charles Oliveira, or actually, an entire Philadelphia card was just announced. Did you hear about that?
No.
Eddie Alvarez, the Philadelphia King himself, is now at 1 and was dying to be on the... He was promoting for that for a very long time, and now he can't because he's going to be fighting in Asia. But Paul Felder even came out and was like, damn it, I'm already booked the fight somewhere else. So he's also a local Philadelphia boy.
Gosh, you know, UFC.
Little forethought.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say foresight, same thing. Like, think, like, what are you doing? Oh, wow.
I agree.
Maybe they don't care about it. Like, in something with a population so large, it's going to fill regardless. So.
I agree, and they're still building that card. They're going to be able to put on a couple logo guys on the undercard. About that, we do know that's officially on that, as of right now, is Michelle Waterson versus Karolina Kovalkiewicz. KK herself's coming back after that brutal Andrasch knockout. Maybe she will be ready. Maybe she will be back against Waterson. I feel like Waterson tends to throw away these fights, so
you know like I got KK. You got KK?
Oh, you know I got KK.
I think I got Waterson in that.
Love it. Fun matchmaking. When has Waterson ever done that to anyone of caliber?
I would say the same as KK.
We got ourselves a fight, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a perfect fight for both women. Because
you're not worried about the knockout.
You're not worried about either of them going to sleep. Go night. Waterson lost to the champ. Who else has Waterson lost to?
Was it PVZ?
She schooled PVZ, I thought.
Oh, I could be wrong on that one.
Maybe I'm wrong on it, though. I wouldn't put money that I'm right. That's for sure. I have no idea. And I could look it up right now, but I just feel a little lazy. I should look it up. We're short enough into the show that I should look up.
Another PVZ. One while you're officially confirming that one that was, as of late, announced for that Brazil card as well in Fortaleza February 2nd is Charles Oliveira versus David Taymor. So one of the Taymor brothers getting in there. Oliveira on a heavy streak. I feel like that's going to be a pretty one-sided fight. A lot of people are going to be on that Oliveira train because he's looked good. He's a contender for turnaround of the year.
So, she's Michelle Watterson's won by knockout 3 times, submission 9 times, decision 4 times.
How many in the UFC?
A professional record. UFC, her last win was against Felice Herring. Then right before that, she beat Courtney Casey. And then she lost to Tisha the Tiny Tornado, who we think she's a little badass.
Totally.
And then before that, she lost to Rose. She beat Paige VanZant by a rear naked choke. And before that, she beat Magana by a rear naked choke. So that's not... And then,
yeah, those are top contenders. She's only lost to arguably some of the two top women in there.
The two, yeah. So, lost Vitória. When was that? 2000. Oh, that was her kickboxing record. Okay. So, and then she is fighting KK, Carolina Kavalkevich.
I don't know why, with Watterson, I always tend to underrate her.
Okay. She lost to Jessica Andrade, which we think she's in the top 2 women in the world. She's obviously fighting for the title. Or maybe top 3. I'm interested.
You can intermix those.
She beat Felice Herring as well before. And then she beat Jody Esquivel by a decision, unanimous. She lost to Claudia Gadelha. And then she lost to JJ.
Also the top 3 in there.
Well, this is where it gets KK, the fight that she wants to get back to. Obviously, she beat Rose Namajunas by a split decision. That's the fight she wants to get back to.
It's a greatly matched fight. Great, great match fight. It's going to be a fun one. I can't wait for that one. With Oliveira...
Either woman could fight for the title next on a win, and it's crazy because of that brutal knockout, but, you know, in this division, it's not like it's swamp deep.
True. Out of that Brazil card.
What was that? I was like.
Charles Oliveira, David Taymor.
That was, what's that? Waterboy's mom. Not like it's swamp deep. I don't know how she talks.
I don't think she talks like that at all.
She talks like, what's his name? Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, exactly.
Bobby Boucher.
Bobby, get out of there, Bobby. That they wet sheets up there on him.
You could do it.
Is that Kathy Bates?
Yeah, keep talking. I have to check that.
So, Brazil's got a bunch of profile fights coming up. I know there's a bunch of other under ones on the way, but a fun little topic that did come about out of Brazil was Paulina Vieira defending herself against a mugger with a cardboard shoe gun. She ended up throwing a 1-2 and a kick down the middle. Then she rear naked choked them and held them until police arrived. Did you happen to catch this vigilante protecting herself, standing her ground?
I thought that was kind of amazing.
It made
she
national news.
She beat the shit out of that guy.
You saw the photos everywhere. Yeah. Instagram, local news stations picked that story up. UFC fighter woman beats up. Angela Hill had a fun tweet that was like, here's regular guy. Oh, I feel like I could kick UFC woman's fighter's ass, real guy. And then it shows his face, because it's the truth. It's the truth. A lot of guys, me included, are like, yeah, I'd be able to hold my own, and then I'd end up bloody pulp, passed out because I got rear naked choked, and I'm like, oh, damn. I dug myself a
grave. I think it's almost a similar thing as how, like, you just having trained wrestling or even trained military could take on a man 50 pounds more than you.
Right.
It's got to be similar to that. It's got to be like a similar gig for some MMA lady. It's like what you can do a trained person compared to the average Joe, but as long as it's not the average Joe Rogan.
Ooh.
'Cause you would never even think that guy was the average guy. He looks like...
He's teed out. He's a freaking... Yeah, exactly. Part of the wide neck gang.
Off topic. I was thinking back to the Jon Jones fight. Another conspiracy, MMA conspiracy. Do.
Weird.
I know. One day, when we have tons of money on production, we'll have some button that does MMA conspiracy. Goom, 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 because here's another one. Do you think there was a rush to get the John Jones fight off for the FS1 contract in any way? And do you think, even so, of losing John Jones on the pay-per-view, do you think they were under some sort of... I have no idea. This is so naive, but I know those contracts are super detailed. Do you think there could have been anything involved that was like, must reach this amount of viewers? Because the viewership I saw was over $1 million. Like, or they had to pay some kind of money out on it? Or do you think there could have been something with more to it of that rush to put that card on in California?
I could see that because... I can't remember who is making up these points, but it is a very valid point. ESPN is Disney. And when you're Disney, do you want a drug addict, a former drug addict who has hit and run pregnant women on your first card? Because they, or as a part of your logo initially? I don't know how much but I do agree that there is something there. I guess I was just diverging onto the Disney aspect of it, because it is a company that does affect its subsidiaries. You don't get in bed with Disney and they leave you alone.
Yeah, I think it's, it's one of the six.
Exactly.
There's only six conglomerates that own every media company in America. UFC conspiracy. It always gets deep. Yeah. But I just thought...
I think you have a good point. I totally could see that. But it did pay off for the UFC. I mean, there was more people viewing that fight card because all of a sudden... Everybody, again, wants to see John Jones lose. And whether you want him to win or lose, you're paying for the pay-per-view. They're making money. It worked out in the end for them. It got on more news channels, got picked up by more sources because of the asinine things that happened. Picogram, pictogram, everything in between. Wow.
So weird.
Unbelievable way to win. What a way to finish out the year for the fans. Again, we have the 19th.
Weird. Yeah, it was a weird throwback.
We got the 19th until we have a stacked card.
Stacked, but absolutely not as stacked as... Have you looked at UFC 235?
Yes. Please name off some of the bouts on
just
them.
Just some of them.
Unbelievable.
Zavit Stevens.
Woo!
Crazy good fight. Right now, who you have in that? Does Stevens seem like he's going to be a sneaky underdog
Stevens
in that?
Stevens has a chance. Stevens is going to be on DraftKings play.
He seems like he could be a sneaky
underdog. Because he's going to be an underdog there.
Askren Lawler.
Askren, just because Lawler's not who he used to be.
Yeah, I agree. Woodley Usman.
I got to say Woodley right now, unfortunately.
I know.
But that's close. That's such a close fight. But either for him or Colby, it's going to be a close fight. I see freaking... Ah, dang.
Weilei Zhang versus Tecia Torres.
That got booked recently. That's a fun one. I'm going to say Tisha's going to be able to keep this where she wants to, like she usually doesn't win a dirty ass split, especially with all that muscle on Zhang.
Unless Zhang has some kind of crazy reach advantage. I like everything I'm seeing from her right now. And you can pick apart Tecia Torres if you can keep her on the outside. And that's what happens to her in these longer matches. She needs to get in the inside to take her down. So that'll be the test of Zhang's takedown defense to see if she can step into those top echelon of girls.
Is this your all or nothing play coming into where it's magic couples like Nunes, Aznarov, you stay with both of them? Who else is in there that you stay with both of them? The other cute couple.
I don't think she's fighting. Rocky's not fighting on this card, is
she? Well, no. Where this is the opposite, where it's Rocky Torres, where it might be stay away from both. Where it's either you're on both or away from them.
I know, but I don't know if Rocky's on this card.
No, I agree. In general.
Yeah.
Just because they're couple dumbs.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Their trajectory of where they're going as a fight relationship.
I know. I think what you're saying. I like where...
This is what usually...
I like
usually
what Nina
say.
And... I like everything Amanda and Nina. I think they're going to be the queen and queen of the UFC soon. And then I think on the other...
Are they the queenesses?
I know. There's got to be a good name for queens.
Queens.
Queenies.
Yeah, I think
the
it's queens.
Queenies. The lioness and the lioness. It's weird. Yeah, so that fight's good.
That is a fun one.
Diego Sanchez versus Mickey Gall.
Well, you got to pick Mickey Gall there.
Diego Sanchez finally, out of all the people we've seen call out him out, and could we see Mickey Gall hand select his opponents anymore?
More than anyone, we've went over this multiple times, but he picks fights that he can win.
I think crazy good fight on that card. Holly Holm, Aspen Ladd.
Interesting.
Where do you at?
I mean, this is going to be, again, a symphony for the years. There's going to be all sorts of screaming going on, but I got Holly. Give me some of that horse-fed booty.
I know. I agree. I think Holly wears out her cardio there exactly. And just plays the entire fight as that much smarter of a fighter.
I think Ladd comes in yelling, and Holly's like, what? And then they both slowly wear down because Aspen usually gets them out of there sooner.
It's going to be the fight. It's going to be the loss that makes Aspen Ladd a champion one day.
Agreed.
But Holly Holm, her next fight is Amanda. But the winner of this fight is fighting Amanda Nunes regardless. But I need to see Holly Holm versus Amanda Nunes in my lifetime.
I need to see Amanda Nunes, Chris Cyborg again. There's no reason that's not a number two.
I don't need to see it yet. I don't mind if...
I think if Cyborg comes in backing off of that fight and doesn't come in swinging, totally different fight. But
I think Cyborg versus Megan Anderson first. And then for the winner of that can fight Amanda at 145 for the belt. I'm like, why wouldn't you let her try to keep both as long as she can? As long as she can get the fight in the year that's expected of the champion or whatever the number of fight every 8 months.
Right.
I don't know what the number is, but there is some number expected of the champion. As long as she can get that in, why not let her bounce back and forth and build her legacy? Anyways, that's for another day. OSP versus Misha Cirkunov.
I did see that. That's a fun one. Really? I mean, both fairly chinny, both submission grapplers in different ways. Always got to watch for that Von Flue choke. Interesting. That's a coin flip of a fight right there.
Isn't that a crazy good fight card, though?
That's nuts. Cannot wait. We're going to have a bunch of ESPN ones before that.
We have UFC 234 before that.
Yep.
And, wait. Was 233 canceled?
It was postponed. So it hasn't officially been canceled, but we might see for the first time ever 234 happen and then 233 afterwards.
That is ludicrous.
Right? Why not just get rid of it?
Because they spend too much money on posters and that's so low budge.
That's WME coming in hot. Halle Berry.
Shield
stock, by the way.
At Demetrius Johnson, and I know all these people, I'm wondering if they're cage side trying to make the UFC more stock, relevant.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because at Demetrius Johnson Cejudo's, Woodley Wonderboy's fight, Madonna was ringside. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that either, but we've seen Chris Pratt, we've seen Shaq, we've seen Michael Clark Duncan, freaking rest in peace. Freaking who else? A ton of other celebrities.
Like you said, all those names, and then Michael Clark Duncan.
He did.
Yeah, but he ain't that famous.
He was famous in the day.
Who is he?
He's a big black guy. Humongous old black from Green Mile.
Is that him?
Yeah.
He's on the Green Mile?
Yeah. He died of a heart attack. Steroids might have had something to do with it. But
he looked super deep.
He was before a lot of other celebrities. That's ultra hardcores. That's like 2008, 2009 you saw him there.
That's why it was such a big deal, because he was the most famous person there.
At the time. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God! Is that Green Mile?
He was on there freaking loving it.
Is that Green Mile? He was dating somebody hot when he passed away, I think. Like Vivica Fox or something.
Yeah.
If it's the person I'm thinking of. Like
a big old gap. He was with his mouth
closed. Did he look like Shrek?
They all look like Shrek.
Who's they?
Everybody was huge. The mountain from Game of Thrones, he looks like Shrek too. Freaking Timothy Johnson looks like Shrek.
Isn't it funny that Shrek had cauliflower ears?
Yes. Yeah. Very true. Very, very true.
Okay, so we talked about that. We talked about that. We talked about that. Last question. It's a big question. It's loaded. It's a loaded question. But it can be a good convo, good chit-chat to end the show. Who do you think every champion's scariest matchup in their division are that is reachable to get to them this year?
Jeez.
Like for 2019.
So that we have to break down every single weight class right now and give each champion their opponent?
I don't think you have to break down every weight class. Just if you think like you might already be thinking about it. Like if Rose is the 115 and we say Tatiana Suarez, we're like, that's the scariest person to go in there against her. Or Andrade, the person going against her right now, is her scariest matchup in the division. That's it. Just if you have somebody off your head that's close enough. Like, instead of if you go with the men's division and you do, like, oh, the 145, Zabit is the scariest person for Max to fight. Will Zabit get to Max this year? Is that far off? Like, is it too, you know, whatever. I don't say that as my answer. I'm just using it as an example. We don't have to break down every division, but we just have a little bit of time. There's no fights. Just,
I mean,
is there anyone that sticks out to you?
I guess it's just people that stick out forms it a little bit better. People that are going to make runs for the championship in 2019.
Can anyone at the heavyweight beat DC?
John Jones.
Can Stipe?
I'd love to see that fight, but we don't know if DC's staying at heavyweight. He already relinquished the belt to Kane, who's coming back against Ngannou.
No, heavyweight. That you're talking about John Jones's division.
Oh, no, John Jones he's at 205. Yeah, he's talked about not going to heavyweight.
Do you think
anyone
can beat DC at heavyweight?
Maybe Stipe has a chance. Ngannou doesn't have a chance. No. I think DC runs through Brock easy.
But
DC's out of heavyweight. DC's done in heavyweight from what I'm hearing. He stepped away from the belt. He was a champ.
What? Light heavyweight is John Jones' division. Yeah. Heavyweight is DC's. DC stepped away from his belt?
Because Kane's coming back in against Ngannou.
But I thought he's going to stay there until Kane gets to it.
Oh, well, from what I thought I had seen, DC is no longer the champ at 265 pounds.
Wow, that's big, huge news.
UFC wouldn't want to promote that.
But there's no belt right now, so in my opinion...
Whoever fights next is the belt.
Should be fighting for the interim. It should... What is Ozdemir versus
Reyes? I feel like it's Ngannou Kane.
For the championship.
Potentially. I could be wrong and misread it, and what you're saying, DC's holding it until Kane gets there and then he steps away, because they both... Kane has actually came out
that
and said,
crazy.
Still, he is not fighting DC, because everyone still asked him, and
could
they're
Kane
not
beat
doing
DC?
It. No. Kane's too hurt. He's starting to finally look old to me. And he's talking about, we say here all the time, retirement. He's already talking about going to WWE. He just did over Monday. He said, I'm ready to get in there and even start having some matches at WWE. I don't like that.
Is Kane in trouble against Ngannou?
Only because of the surgeries and the amount of damage. He's taken over 2 years off to get surgeries, but he's always been hurt. He's getting up there in age. Heavyweights have it a little bit longer. Ngannou always has a puncher's chance, but if there's anyone to beat Ngannou, it's a wrestler. A real wrestler.
Yeah, true.
And that's Cain Velasquez.
True.
But Cain is very worn at this point in time.
Can anyone beat John Jones at 205?
No, I don't think so.
Is he in any kind of threat at all against Anthony Smith?
Not at all. But I do feel like, as we were saying, some of the contenders, I see Reyes being a contender at 205. This in the 2019, like they give him two fights, and then at the end of the year, he fights John Jones. Or who's ever at 205, depending on how it all snorts out.
Damn.
So
Damn, John Jones is scary.
I think Volkanovski at 145 pounds, we can see him get a title shot at 145 pounds.
He was calling for Max. Do you think he's a threat to Max at that?
I like that. I think there's interesting stuff there.
He said Max has never fought a true wrestler.
Agreed. There's a lot of fun stuff there. Like I'm saying, that's someone I see at 155 pounds, throw a freaking dart at a board, and you're going to get somebody who's contending at that
division.
But
a threat
right
to Khabib?
Tony Ferguson. Did I have to say that?
Some of them are going to be so fast. Welterweight. Usman's the only threat to Woodley.
Covington as well.
Maybe
in
just
there,
those three guys.
He's the interim, yeah.
And only because he's telling us he's the cardio king.
Right. But at 170, there's still other killers on the way that we're going to see contest for this belt at 170 pounds.
But maybe not this year. Maybe it's tied up in this talk.
Right. Right now, they're really tied up. 85, Adesanya, obviously, is all super hyped. We just did 205. Who else at 135?
Adesanya versus Bobby Knuckles is going to happen this year.
Oh, that's a fun one.
And it's going to happen in Australia, and it's going to be this huge beast of a card. Like UFC Sydney is going to be them versus each other for this like half quarter world championship.
Right, right. At 35, I mean, there's a stack, but it's the 125-35ers all being held up. Talking
like he's just going to walk through Anderson Silva.
It's still a fight, but again, Anderson Silva's in the Cain Velasquez rung of his career as well.
Over 40.
Right, 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 right. And that's that new style. At 135, do you see anybody who's an immediate other than the 125-pound champ, apparently?
TJ, in my opinion, he's my pee pound for pound. I actually, though, think Cejudo is going to be a really good fight for TJ in just how he measures up against the 145. In my opinion, if TJ gets through Cejudo at 125, he can step up to 145 and think about becoming a triple champ. Because all the guys that he has, his first matches, I think TJ Dillashaw versus Frankie Edgar at 145 is a slayer. But I want to see how TJ looks against a guy like Cejudo before we throw him up.
Right.
Because there is such this, the guys who are the gatekeepers at the beginning of the top 10 are all wrestling heavy guys. So, gosh, TJ versus Volkanovski. I love TJ at 145 as much as I love Max at 155.
I would agree with that. I could even see Max going up to 155 pounds this year. Easy.
What about TJ versus Max?
All
That's
day.
A crazy fight. Anyway, that, but TJ, yeah. I need him to get through Cejudo first because I do think it's crazy wearing on your muscles to stay up this low of a weight for...
Totally agreed with that. But there's, at 35, there's, again, monsters chomping at the bit. A Sun Sal Lineker, freaking... Aljamain Sterling's made a name for himself back in there as well. Zabit. But he might be, he's 45.
What about on the women's side? We talked about Tatiana. In my opinion, I think the Bullet easily holds the 125 belt until she gives it up when her sister gets there. If her sister gets there. But I think the Bullet comfortably holds that title all year. I think she's the Max Holloway of that.
For this year, she's the DJ there. She's the Demetrius Johnson of the time.
Yeah, and I think Holly's the only one that could take Amanda out.
Interesting. I mean, there's still multiple fights, but this is 135.
Nina, you think Nina could take that belt this year? Can you imagine if Nina's fighting for a title this year? That could really happen.
I could see that, but I don't know if I necessarily give Nina that win, but it's going to be a fun one. At 35, all those 45ers that were at the Tough House all have moved down. So Chiesan, even though she's got a couple fights left, she's going to be fun. Her competitor, her friend in there, I can't remember the name off the top of my head. She's going to be, 35 is stacked up. 45, not looking so good. But 35 for the ladies is going to be a fun division. Prediction for
2019. I know, it's a little disappointing for Megan Anderson and Chris Cyborg with the lack of talent at 145. But if they've spent a little time at 145 instead of everyone going down to 135 now, but that division needed help. The 125 division we thought was worthless to even talk about, and now there's actually some interesting women coming through that.
Totally.
Everything changes, but it has
Viana's
to be
there.
Gotta
be in there. Where is she at? 125? 115?
Who?
Pollyanna Viana, who just beat up a man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's knocked out of quite a few women in there. She's been an underdog that's come through.
That's how you need your adrenaline to bust in a fight. That mugged. You got that mugged adrenaline. You got that. I'm getting mugged adrenaline right now.
You're going to go take a freaking, what is that? Mug shot after this.
You got that mug shot. You got mugga.
Yeah, you got mugged. You got mugged in
That's
there.
Our whole name of our episode. It'll be mugga. Make the UFC great again.
I love it.
I know. I guess that's it. Thanks for listening, you guys. Make sure you like and subscribe everywhere. Oh, guess what? One more thing. We Patreon to the Top Turtle podcast.
What? You're welcome, Top Turtle. Send the love
this
way.
You know I want that B-shop.
Oh, dang. Calling her shots. Lesbo,
right,
calling her shots.
I'm going to put it right
Need
here.
Need it. We want
I'm
it.
I'm going to put it right here.
I can't stay not having it.
Yeah, so we haven't asked for any Patreon yet. So, maybe you want to go Patreon them. Maybe you want to Patreon them.
Let's move to me.
Thanks for listening to Lat B. For all things Lesbo and the Bean, head over to lesboandthebean.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.